Amen. Well, we are continuing on with our looking at the harvest through the eyes of the Jewish culture back in the day. We started with Seed Time and Harvest is the main title, but we're basically looking back to see what it was like back then because it brings revelation to us today. And our theme verse is Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Say, shall not cease. Shall not cease. Say it again, shall not cease. There's going to be seed time and harvest. It shall not cease. And it doesn't matter what the economy says. It doesn't matter what it looks like. This is a biblical truth that's for our lives today. Amen? Even as I was sharing with you about the different things that they needed before they were able to do, even planting the seeds, they were dependent on the rain. They were dependent on the Lord. Amen? And so we have to make sure that our dependency is not on the news. Our dependency is not on the circumstances around us. Our dependency is not even on our employers or the government for some of you. That is not who your dependency should be upon. Our dependency is on one person, and that is the Lord. The Lord, that is the only place our dependency lies, because you know what? All those other things can be shaken. All those other things can be, in a moment's time, taken away. Amen? But the one thing that cannot and will not change and that won't be taken away and won't be moved in our lives is the Lord. Can I hear a big amen? He will not change. And we talked about that God will be faithful to his word, that there is always a seed time and a harvest. Then we talked about, Steve shared about the time that's in between the seed and the harvest, that it sometimes takes time for us to see that harvest. Well, things need to grow, right? When a farmer puts a seed in the ground, it doesn't come out the next day. I bet they wish it would, but that's not the way it works, right? There's some time in between. Then we talked about being dependent on the rain, that the Lord is the one we're to be dependent on. And last week we talked about the first of the three harvests, and that was the spring harvest. And the Pesach, something like that. And that is the spring harvest, and that has to do with the festival unleavened breads, or the festival of unleavened bread. I'm getting them confused. Sorry about that. And so we talked about last week how that we need to be cleaning out the old to welcome in the new, and that God wants to keep us separated. He doesn't want us to be contaminated by the things of the world, and that's what our tithes and our offerings do. Amen? And today we're looking at the next section, the summer harvest, and that is around the time of Shavuot. Shavuot. I'm not very good at my Jewish speaking, sorry. Shavuot, it's the festival of weeks, or they can also call it the reaping festival or the holiday of the first fruits. You know something I noticed about all of these different harvests? They're all centered around a festival. You know what that tells me? That tells me there should be constant rejoicing in our lives. That there is only 50 days between Pesach and Shavuot. 50 days. That's not very long. That's like a month and a half. Amen? How often do you celebrate? Over your finances. I had to go, ooh, ow. I thank the Lord, but do we celebrate over our finances? Because you know what that does? You know what celebrating does? It puts the focus back on who we're to be dependent on. And who that comes from. Amen? So let's make our harvest, whenever you get a harvest that comes in, take some time to celebrate. Maybe have a special dinner. Maybe call a friend and say, hey, guess what God's done in my life? This particular festival, it was really cool when I was reading through it and finding out what they did. It was like a parade. They would, each person or each village would have a bull that they would have decorated, and they would all be carrying their baskets. as they would come in to celebrate this festival. It was a joyous time. Say joyous. That's why when you come into church, the Lord loves a what kind of giver? A what kind? Did you just say cheerful? So there should be, even though I can't see your faces, there should be a smile underneath your face because it's offering time. Amen? And if you don't feel like smiling, at least make yourself smile, because that says, I'm making a choice. I may not feel like smiling, but I am coming into the house of the Lord this morning. I have an opportunity to bring my tithes and my offerings, and I may not bring the cows with me, but I'm going to bring my rejoicing. Amen? And we not may not carry baskets into church, but we put our offerings into a basket. Amen? So we're doing a lot of things similar to what they used to do, but it was a time of celebrating. This particular harvest was the end of the wheat and the beginning of the grapes and the olives. And so it was kind of like a culmination of things that were being done right now. When you talk about the wheat, they would harvest the wheat right after they ended the barley. Remember we talked about the barley last week. They would start harvesting the wheat. And for harvesting the wheat, they would go out and they would use their sickles or whatever types of tools that they would use to cut down the wheat. But there were two things that stuck out to me when they were dealing with the wheat, and that was the separating, actually getting the wheat kernels. They would first do a winnowing. Can you say winnowing? Sounds like a little kid trying to say something, right? Winnowing. The winnowing would be they would take a shovel or a rake type thing, and they would have all of the stalks of wheat, and they would use it to kind of shift it up into the air like this, kind of toss it. And they would do this at night because in that part of the world, the wind comes in the evening, and that was extremely important. They would take their winnowing tool, and they would toss up the stalks, and everything that wasn't wheat, everything that was light, would be blown by the wind in a different direction. So they were dependent again on something you can't see, right? Something they can't control. Can they control the rain? No. Can they control the wind? No. So again, it shows the dependency on the Lord. Amen? And oftentimes we see in Scripture, God uses the wind to demonstrate that He is in control. Amen? And so they would take it and they would throw it up in the air, and the stalk and the things that were lighter would be blown, but the wheat kernels are heavy, so they would always go straight down. And then it says that after that, then they would do the sifting, because how many people know that even though you've blown some stuff away, there's still going to be some other things mixed in there, amen? And most of the time in those days, they didn't have cement or a hard surface to do it on, so it was actually done where it would just fall to the ground. How many people have ever been camping and you dumped a box of cereal on the ground and you went to pick it up and you only got cereal in your hands, right? No. You definitely tell your kids, don't eat that. Why? Because you have dirt and debris and rocks that inevitably get picked up. Same with the sifting. They would take the wheat kernels and everything that they had gathered off the ground and they would go into their homes and they would use a sifter. It was a much smaller scale. And it was generally done by the women, and amen, women, right? And they would sift it, and then they would blow with their breath, to blow off the chaffing or the chafing that was still, that's the things that go around the wheat kernels. Amen? And when I was thinking about that, Jesus talks in Matthew 3:12 and in Luke 3:17 about how that the Lord will sift through his people like wheat. And what does that mean? It means that those that are rock solid on him, when the winds come to blow away the things that don't need to be in our lives, we're going to go straight down. We're good. We're solid. We're in his catching place, right? But the things that we don't need in our life, what happens? They get blown away. A lot of times in our lives, when the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, the Lord works everything to our good. That even means your finances. So if you feel maybe some shaking or you feel some wind blowing, don't panic. Don't panic. We have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as an amazing illustration. You can even walk through the fire, and the only thing that's going to come off of you is the things that hold you back. Amen? And when things happen in our finances, we need to get to that point that we don't freak out. We go, hey, wait, I'm the wheat. I'm going to end up right in his hand, in his pile. I'm good. Everything that doesn't need to be in our lives will be blown off, blown away. Amen? So that we have the purest product that's left over. Also, in during this time, not only is the wheat being harvested, but it's the beginning of the grape and oil harvest. And again, just like the barley, they were not able to use any of the grape juice or any of the oil until an offering was made. I'm going to say it again. They weren't able to use any of the grape juice or any of the oil until an offering was made. This is why it's so important when you get a harvest in your life, the very first thing you do is a tithe and offering. Amen? It should be the very first thing. Why? Because it's biblical. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if that's what he required in the past, that's what he still requires today. Because he wants to take stuff from you, right? No, he wants to get stuff to you. He wants there to be a blessing over everything else in your lives. I also think it's interesting that during this time, the holiday of first fruits, the reaping festival, Shavuot, or Shavuot, however you want to pronounce it, that grape juice or wine and oil is also symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Also symbolic of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing when you look at these different things, how you can see the Lord working all through it. It's not just tradition. He was ingraining into his people something powerful. He was ingraining in them something that would come later on as a fulfillment of prophecy, that he was going to be the new wine so that we didn't have to drink wine anymore. We were filled with the Holy Spirit. What did they say to Peter at Pentecost? What are you guys doing? It's too early in the day for us to be drinking. What are you talking about? We're drunk. No, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the new wine. And then the oil, the anointing oil, there is a powerful thing when oil was poured forth. They used oil to anoint kings. Amen? And what is it? It refers to the Holy Spirit being like an anointing oil that's poured forth. Amen? So we see this festival is the end, middle and end of the wheat, but it's also the beginning of the grape and the olives. Amazing, amazing things. But the thing that really, really stuck out to me when I was studying this harvest is the fact that, again, it's a celebration. When you sit down to write your tithes and offerings, it shouldn't be, oh, man, I got to write another tithe check. No. Thank you, Lord. If I'm writing a tithe check, it means because I got blessed. I had a harvest come in. Maybe it's only $10. That's okay. It's a harvest. And we have joy because God loves a cheerful giver. Make it a time of celebration. Amen? And then the second thing is don't freak out when your finances or even the situations in your life maybe shift a little bit or the wind comes through. Don't panic. Say, don't panic. Say, I'm the wheat. Come on, you can do better than that. I'm the wheat. You are the wheat. You are not going to be blown away. You are going to come right through. You're going to be right in his pile, under his protection. The only thing that will be missing in your life is the things you don't need. Amen? Amen. Let's grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Father, that we can research, that we can be able to understand even more fully, Father, what you meant when you talked about shifting and winnowing us, Father, as wheat. That, Father, we don't want the things in our lives that are holding us back or the chaff that gets in and messes up the ingredients when it's used in baking. It's a harder kernel. It sticks in your teeth, kind of like popcorn, that kernel. We don't want that in our lives. We don't want to be something that bothers people. And especially, we don't want to be a bother to you, Lord. And so we just thank you that those things that are, the wind comes and the shifting comes and it's gone out of our lives. And all we have left is the true product, Father, the wheat that can be a blessing. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is like the new wine, Father, and like the new oil. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for that outpouring in our lives today, that we don't need to drink a substance to feel joy. We've got the joy of the Lord in us already. The Holy Spirit is living inside of us. And Father, you have anointed us to be kings and priests for you. And we just thank you for that anointing in our lives today, Father. We praise you for these things that we are learning about seed time and harvest that shall not cease. If they were good for before, they're good for today, and they'll be good for forever. And we praise you, Father, for the wisdom that we are gaining, and help us to always come into your house with praise on our hearts and our lips, Father, especially, Lord, when we bring our offering to you. Help us to see that image, Lord, of that parade or that caravan of people coming with shouts of joys, carrying our baskets that are filled with our offerings of wheat and of grape juice and of olive oil, Father. Help us to see the joyfulness that came, and Lord, help us to enter into your house with that same joy, knowing, Father, that we had a harvest, otherwise we wouldn't even be able to give. And we praise you, Father, that once again our dependency is on you. Bless every seed that is sown today, Father. Bless the sower and multiply that seed, 100-fold harvest in their lives, and we praise you and we thank you for it, and we call it done today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, stretch your hands out toward the giving baskets and let's make a declaration of faith. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, go to the north, south, east, and west. I receive the blessing of God. I receive inheritances, raises, bonuses, the blessing of God on my finances and in every area of my life. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you for your faithful giving. You know, just that you were trying to pronounce that one word up there. To me, it almost looks like it says shout. Why don't somebody just give God a big shout right now? Just say hallelujah, praise the Lord, man. Your giving is a shout, hallelujah. A shout that says, I'm not subject to this world's economy. Amen. Praise God. He is so good. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you for that beautiful message. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's pray over today's message right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. Make us sensitive, Lord, to hear and listen and obey your voice in every area of our lives. And we just thank you, Lord, for this time and space, Lord God, to gather together, Lord. I just know, Lord, there's something powerful about gathering together. That's why the devil would like to stop it. But Father, the moment we get up and start getting ready and take a step toward church, all hell begins to shake, Lord God. And we will continue to gather together and worship you. In fact, it'll only get more as we go. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you can open your Bible to Psalm 62, but that's going to be kind of the dessert today. I kind of look at today's message. I'm titling this simply A Heart of Thanksgiving. This will probably be a 2 or 3 part message, but I kind of look at today's message kind of like a little bit like a Thanksgiving meal, you know, where you got some mashed potatoes and some maybe some green bean casserole and maybe some turkey and maybe some pumpkin pie, maybe that Jell-O with the little marshmallows in it, you know. We all have those things that we really look forward to and those things where we say, well, maybe I'll just have a little of that, right? Kind of stir it around the plate. Amen. But so this is kind of a little bit of a buffet type message, I think, today. Hallelujah. But God's got a word for us. Even though there's multiple aspects to the Thanksgiving dinner, it's all one meal. Amen. And I'll probably eat it multiple times and enjoy every bit of it. Praise the Lord. And it's all about being thankful, isn't it? Somebody just say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And it begins really for me going back to January 5th, our message that we taught on January 5th entitled Vision Day 2020. How many know God's plan doesn't change? Amen. And even though we've been through some rough waters this year, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lacey. Did I not switch it? Thank you. Wow. Thank you so much. So there's our title screen, A Thankful Heart. Somebody say, I have a thankful heart. Amen. But beginning back in January, well, we did a message called Vision Day. And the word that the Lord gave me for our church for this year was this. 1 John 1:3, and it says this. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship. Somebody say fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, somebody say fellowship, right, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So the word that the Lord gave us really strong for this year was fellowship. It was so great this whole weekend. I got to fellowship with our family, the Live and Goods. We all went out to the beach and we hung out in a big house and played games and went to the malls and just had a great time together, fellowshipping with one another. We don't, you know, we see each other semi-regularly, but it was nice to not have to run off and go home or get ready for work or whatever. Just hang out together, right? In my slippers. My hair may not have even been quite done some of the time. And I might have had a piece of licorice hanging out of my mouth and playing pool or, you know, whatever, going to the outlet malls. Had a great time fellowshipping together. Well, God's family is a family. It's not a business, right? It is a government. It is a business. It is a kingdom, but he's family first, right? And fellowship is a huge word with Jesus. Fellowship. He has sons and daughters, not business associates, right? Or second cousins or grandchildren. The Lord told me a while back, and I was thanking him for my kids. My kids are such a blessing. And he said, well, thank you for giving me kids. And I thought, well, that sounds weird. I thought, well, that's exactly what it is. When you have kids and you train them to know God, you're giving God children. Because he has no grandchildren, children, sons and daughters. Amen. And so the word for this year for our church has been the word fellowship and talking about the reiterating the importance of church. And so what does the devil try to shut down this year? The church. Amen. And he's a failure, isn't he? Amen. And even though we had a season where we weren't meeting together, we had things online and the Lord gave us creativity. And I've heard multiple testimonies of ministries around the country and even the world that have increased during this time. Amen? And I was even thinking, you know, Jesus, when he was born into a very oppressive government system. They killed babies too, only on the other side of the womb. Amen? So somebody say, greater is he who's in us than he that is in the world. We just keep showing up. We just keep serving God and praying and being involved. We are still blessed to live in an awesome nation that our whole setup was based on serving Jesus. And that hasn't changed. Amen? So we praise God for that. But this year of fellowship, the theme for 2020 at our church will be fellowship. The question is not, what are you doing for me? The question is, what are you doing with me? When you have relationship, your heartbeats literally sync up. That's from Dr. Avery Jackson. Amen? Somebody say it's good to be synced up with the Father every day. That's why Shelley's point there about turning the news off is very good. Less news is good. How about read the news, the good news, and plug into the Word of God? Amen? Instead of always having the news going, always having the news going, always having the news going. Pastor George this morning started going in on talking about, you know, continuing on standing for our country. And, you know, I honestly, I feel a little fatigued with it. It's like, you know what? I'm just tired of standing and standing and standing and hearing all this stuff about the politics. And the Lord just reminded me, you can't grow weary in standing and standing and standing. And by the time he got through, I was fired up again, right? But see, I'd gotten a little bit off of listening to what God was saying and just seeing the flat line that the devil wants to paint a flat line picture of our nation, which is a lie. Somebody say it's a lie. Amen. So we stand in faith. But we stand first and foremost in fellowship with Jesus. And today's, if you have a notes page, we do have some out front. If you didn't get one, you can lift your hand and we can get you one if you need one. But other than that, Mom, you need one? Okay. Mr. Lane, can you? Oh, there he is. Here comes the mailman. Right? Praise God. But our foundation text for this message is Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 out of the Amplified Classic. And this comes out of a couple of these are from letters that I've received from different ministries. This one is from Eagle Mountain International Church, a part of a letter that Pastor George wrote, basically reminding me to stand in faith. And this is months ago, right? But this verse so stuck out at me that I wanted to save it for the Thanksgiving season, right? And here's how it reads. As I have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so I walk, regulate my life and conduct myself in union with, somebody say union, right? In union with and conformity to him. See, the press is on to conform to this world. The press is on to, we all just need to come together and I'm the guy to do it. What that means is, all you faith people are goofy, and we all just need to come together. Even Facebook this past week wouldn't allow me to post something. I believe it was something about praying for the country. And it's, how did it read? Inappropriate post. Now, I know, I just have a feeling that Facebook, there's probably a lot of inappropriate stuff. But to ask for prayer for the president of the United States, how did it read again? Inappropriate post or whatever they said. What? See, we're all trying to come together. No, you're not. My first priority is to come together with Jesus. And y'all welcome to come along if you want to. Amen? And that's what we're doing. Amen? So it starts with being one with Jesus, no matter what the rest of the world is saying. Amen? I have the roots of my being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him. Now, that takes more than just coming to church on Sunday. Amen? That takes a 24/7 intentional time with Jesus every day. Or else, I'm going to be wavering, man. I love my wife, but if the only time I remembered how much I love her is on February 5th, because that's the day we got married. Honey, I love you. Bye. See you next February 5th. There is no relationship there. Right? So we have to be people who can concentrate. It's a focus thing. I can just see Jesus saying, look at me. Fix your eyes on my eyes, not on the rest of the noise out there. And that's what Pastor George did for me this morning. Steve, I'm over here. When we went to Disneyland years ago with our dance team, the JC Dance Posse, Pastor Scott and I would wear bright colors. And we'd all be in the same t-shirts. And there'd always be a kid or two that would get separated from the group, the buddy system. And we'd spend most, hours or whatever trying to locate Joey or Susie or... Joey, in case you forget, I'm wearing the bright red baseball cap and the orange shirt. And in 1 hour, we're going to meet at, Splash Mountain or whatever, We have to be disciplined with Jesus. Keep our focus on his words. Amen. Fellowship with him. Because if we're not deeply planted in him and fixed and founded in him, it means I'm deeply planted and fixedly and fixed and founded in something else. Which a lot of Christians are nowadays. Oh, just go ahead and embrace the rest of the world, what the rest of the world is doing and the philosophies of this world. And you know what? It's all about the grace. I think Brother Barton was sharing a very high percentage of Christian people in America believe that there are other ways to heaven besides Jesus. Oh, really? Really? That ain't true. It's not true. Somebody say one way. One way, and his name is Jesus. So we have to be fixed and founded in him. Being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. I heard a Christian comedian saying once, have you ever met anybody who's just too saved? I thought, wait a second, that ain't right. And then there's other comedians talking, just throwing drinking out there like it's okay, and witchcraft out there like it's all, come on, it's all right. What? Hey, guess what? We're called to be more saved. You think I'm saved today, I'm just going to be more saved tomorrow. Because if you haven't noticed, this world is getting darker and more wicked and more disgusting and more vile. And you're not supposed to be growing along with the world. Me and Luke were learning to play chess yesterday. I've never played chess before, and he got a chess board at the coast, and we're like, we got to learn to play chess, man. It's kind of late last night. We're like, let's, you know what? Yeah, everyone's going to bed, but we need to learn to play chess. And one of the things I remember is there's this, I'm still learning, but there's a thing called castling in chess, where the king, who is the most, I mean, the queen is the most talented piece. She can do a lot of stuff on that board. But the king, if you get the king, game over. And there's this thing called castling, where if the rook doesn't move at all, and the king doesn't move at all, then the king now can move with the rook and go to different places and be safe. Right? So the thing I get there is staying in fellowship with Jesus takes us to a higher level. If we stay in God's word and we stay fixed and founded on him, then he knows where to take us throughout this life, where we'll be safe from the onslaught of the enemy. Amen? Somebody say, stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Castle with Jesus. Amen. Increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. Somebody say, it's going to take more. It's not going to take less. It's going to take more concentration, more focus, more discipline. Amen. To see the breakthroughs that we're looking for in our own lives, in the country, amen. Just as I was taught, in abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Somebody say thanksgiving. Amen. So no matter what's going on around us, we just choose to magnify and thank and praise God through it all. Having praises of God in our mouth will carry us through and over anything. That really is a good example of castling. When you feel like everything's closing in around you and nothing's moving the right way, just begin to thank and praise God, and all of a sudden, man, he gets involved and he's moving you around, and now it becomes an adventure. Instead of everything is going down, you start realizing, wait a second, man. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And awesome things are happening. That's what we've got to remember, church, is awesome things are happening right now. Right now. Somebody say, right now. Because we choose to be people of thanksgiving and praise to our God. We're castling with Jesus. Amen. Don't you know God's bringing his castle right down here to this planet? It's in the book of Revelation. The big castle from heaven coming to planet Earth. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. But we pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done now on Earth, in the U.S., right? In Vancouver, in Portland, wherever you're from, on Earth as it is in heaven. Amen. But living in perilous times, switching now to Pastor Rick Renner's ministry, which I love. And he wrote a letter, and I'm going to read you a portion of it in just a moment, but the text out of it was 2 Timothy 3:1 through 7, and he says this, but know this, this is 2 Timothy 3:1 through 7, and you can turn there, it's in your notes, you can turn there, or you can hold your finger in Psalm 62, because that's where, like I said, that's where the dessert is. We'll get there in a minute, right? Does everybody love pecan pie? It's good. But know this, or is it pecan pie? Pecan pie, pecan pie, never mind. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 7, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And the word perilous down there, I put the definition out of the concordance. The idea of reducing the strength. Difficult. Has anybody faced any difficulties this year? Right? Dangerous, furious, fierce, to lower, as into a void, let down, strike. These are all words that have to do with the word perilous. So as believers, we can't be people that give in to perilous times. We can't be people that let down our faith because there's a difficult situation, right? We can't be people that allow the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, to be let down and reduced in its strength because there's something dangerous out there, so they say. Right? We can't be people that get into this furious and fierceness of the strife that's in the world. Right? And be lowered into the void of strife. No. Amen? How do we do that? We stay fixed and founded in Jesus. Amen. But it says this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be, for men will be lovers of themselves. And you know, we're not really talking about the world here. We are, but we got to watch out for this in the church, in me, right? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. We're even talking about kids here. Disobedience to parents is a sign of the last days. Amen? And even in the school systems right now, there's all kinds of stuff out there where they're telling kids, you don't have to tell your parents about this. No, you don't have to respect them. Somebody say, yikes, man. Here's the next thing, unthankful. Unthankfulness is a sign of the last days. Unthankful people, unholy, unloving. Listen to the company that unthankfulness carries with it. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away. Verse 6, for of this sort are those who creep into households and take captives of gullible women loaded down with sins. You think about, I mean, I know social media can be used as a tool, but it also can be used as a destructive tool. For people that just are always having to know what's on social media, having to know what's on Instagram, having to know what's on whatever they're watching, and it just can begin to suck the life out of them, right? Stumbling into a relationship that maybe they were in years ago, that person's on there, and they're not happy in their marriage, and they reconnect, and yikes, man. Danger. Amen, right? Led away by various lusts. In verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How true is that for today? I mean, there's so much knowledge out there. So many people that are so smart in the world standards, but yet they don't accept the truth. How simple the truth is. Amen? I want to read to you a portion of Pastor Rick's letter right now. Because I was just going to read a paragraph or a few sentences, but man, the more I read, the more I said, nah, these words need to be said this morning. So here we go. This is from his November 2020 letter. And it says this: as I begin my teaching this month, I want us to see what the word unthankful means. But to do that, let's first look at the word thankful. Now, if you know Pastor Rick Renner's ministry, he's real big in Greek and translating Greek words, and it's amazing. He's an awesome Bible teacher, pastor. The word thankful that is primarily used throughout the New Testament is a translation of the Greek word charistos. The word charistos is a derivative of the word charis, which is the New Testament word for grace. However, when the word charis is transformed into charistos, it more fully expresses the idea of one whose heart is thankful, grateful, or appreciative for various reasons. One scholar says the Greek word charistos depicts an inward awareness of having been fortunate or well-treated. Thus, the word thankful, translated from charistos, projects the deep inward feeling of one who is thankful, grateful, or appreciative for what one has received or how one has been treated by others. Man, the Lord got me this week at the coast. Luke and I were at the grocery store. I was in a great mood. We were praising God all the way there, listening to some good Christian praise music, Christmas praise music. And I got in there, had to put my mask on. We were grabbing donuts. Walk up to the front, I'm checking out, and this dude behind me, as I'm leaving, says, "Hey, you're going the wrong way." You know how there's one entry and one exit? And for some reason, I let that offend me. And I did an about-face, walked right past him, didn't even look at him, didn't say a word. Wasn't an employee, just a guy behind me in line. And as I'm walking past him, he goes, "You're welcome." I'm like, it bothered me. But then you know what? The fact that it bothered me began to bother me. And I'm like, and I had to tell Luke, got in the car, I'm like, "Buddy, you know what? Dad blew it back there." I should have simply looked the guy in the eye and said, "Thank you." And then proceeded. Even though I found it a little irritating, I was unthankful toward that man, and it took me out of my place of joy, out of my place of the victory of God, and just a little thing like that. And what was I teaching my kid? You know, the Lord got me on that, got on me about that. And, we can't let even the things that seem small. Amen? Somebody say, "Thank you." That was funny as we're leaving. "You're welcome." But I repented in my heart before God about this, you know? It's not a little thing to be unthankful. Amen? All three words, thankfulness, gratitude, and appreciation, are the expressions of a person who is thankful he has experienced some good event or blessing. They depict someone who is grateful toward the person or people who treated them kindly and is appreciative of what has happened. These words also communicate the recognition of his thankfulness, gratitude, and appreciation of his many blessings. We need to be people that are always looking for any little blessing and just get real excited about it. If it's a parking spot, amen. Yesterday, we're in one of the stores at the outlet mall, 90% off sale. And there's like these, and they, who knows if they marked them up, I don't know, but nice shoes, like that are $150, $160 for 17. And I was like, wow, sweet, yeah. But then I remembered, I already got nice shoes. So I'm gonna just go ahead and let someone else have this blessing. I don't need to be stockpiling shoes, you know. But man, there's blessing out there. There's blessing out there. And we're either a blessing or you know, at the service station, I'm getting fuel. And I asked the guy to plug in my Fred Meyer number so that I can get my discount. We can't do that. He's standing out there in the rain with a mask. Okay. So go ahead and I'll pay it. And then I gave him a tip. Said, thank you for standing out in the rain, sir, helping me get home today. Amen. See, our thankfulness is not conditional on other people deserving it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit prophesied in 2 Timothy 3:2 that many in society will become unthankful in the last days. The word unthankful is the Greek word acharistos. The word charistos with an A affixed to the front of it. The little A has a canceling effect and literally changes the meaning of this word from thankful to unthankful. For example, though a person was once thankful, something has occurred and his thankfulness has been canceled. A thankful person has become an unthankful person. Somebody say, not me. In other words, though this person or society once had a thankful attitude, for some reason that same person or people lost his thankful, grateful, and appreciative attitude and has become unthankful. Now, unthankfulness, ingratitude, and unappreciativeness have filled his heart and mind. Rather than be thankful for what he has experienced or for what the blessing he has received, rather than be grateful toward the people who have treated him kindly, rather than be appreciative for what has happened and recognize how appreciative he is for it, he has become unthankful. He is filled with ingratitude. He is unappreciative of others. And what they have done for him, simply put, he is the picture of an ingrate. I love Pastor Rick, you know. I'm thinking that your notes are still going to be active next week because I think we're not going to get through them all today. Amen? So, amen. So just make a little star there by this one. We'll probably wrap it up after this portion. But in 2 Timothy 3:2, the Holy Spirit uses the Greek word unthankful. The Greek akristos, to tell us many will depart from a thankful attitude and will transition into a state of unthankfulness. Yes, an unthankful attitude will rise up until its grip has seized society at the end of the age. Man, this ought not be in the church. Amen. Unthankfulness is so wicked that in Luke 6:35, Jesus connects it with evil. He said, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Kindness, even when we're treated poorly. Amen? We don't go out there bashing the governor. We sure don't vote for those policies. Maybe don't agree, but I'm not going to go out there and write a book about how crazy they are. No. What do I get out of that? I met a Democratic governor who's, you know, we talked about the Democratic versus Republican platforms a few years back, and I did a pest control job at his house. He had moles. And I'm at his house. And you know what? This gratefulness just rose up on the inside of me. I'm like, sir, thank you so much for your service to the state of Oregon. Somebody say respect. Respect the office. Amen. Give a little thanks. Hallelujah. I didn't vote for him. I don't think I was an Oregonian back then either, so I probably wouldn't have. But you know, if President Obama was here today, sir, thank you for your service to the United States of America. How hard is that to say? Instead of you, blah, 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 blah. Come on, church. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus' words posture the characteristic of being unthankful in the same category as evil. This most assuredly tells us that an unthankful attitude is evil in God's sight. It is simply spiritually criminal not to be thankful for what we have in life, even if it seems like what we have is little compared to someone else's blessings. Amen. Somebody say, don't be into the comparison game, right? And even if we feel we've worked hard and earned what we have, we still should be profusely thankful for the fact that what we have was given to us by God. Our jobs, opportunities could have been given to someone else, but they were graciously given to us. Others who need a job and a salary would be thankful to have your position and your income. There are people all over the world who do not have shelter, warmth, and clean water, but you likely have access to it every day. When you remember that, it will help you to be thankful for what you have and for every blessing that comes your way. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But unfortunately, Pastor Rick continues, we live in an end times season when people are so self-focused and self-consumed that they are rarely grateful for anything. And if they are grateful, that attitude is often short-lived and soon forgotten. The Bible commands us, be ye thankful, and in everything give thanks. That's from Colossians 3:15 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Even if things seem to be going wrong all around us, we can still stop to count our blessings. I'm preaching to me too, church. Amen. We may feel besieged by need at the present moment, but the fact is, we each have many reasons to be thankful. In 2 Timothy 3:2, Paul forewarned us that many in the last days will become unthankful. It is a warning to every one of us that we should heed. At this time of the year, when we are especially reminded to stop and think about what we're thankful, grateful, appreciative for, it would be good for us to consider whether we have been thankful, grateful, and appreciative all year around. Even if we've been through hard times, those times could have been even harder. I had a lady tell me that this week on an account I was at in business, and she's like, man, and she's a great lady. She always gives a tip on the job, you know, and just real positive, but she's like, man, 2020, it was terrible. Let's get on to 2021. And instantly came out of my mouth was, there's probably been worse years. That's just what came out. Amen to 2021, but there's probably been a few years that were even worse than 2020 if we start. Amen, right? Hallelujah. Even if we've been through a hard time, they could have been harder. And when we think, and we can think of much to be thankful, grateful, and appreciative for right now, while we're still going through a difficult time or struggle. Somebody say amen. Wrapping this part up here. I'm not trying to attack anyone who's going through a hard time. We all go through hard times at various seasons of life. I simply believe it's healthy for each one of us to stop and reflect on what we have to be thankful for today and every day. Now, think about Pastor Rick's ministry. His whole family lives in Moscow, Russia. Now, I got a feeling that they may have a few other challenges for living in Moscow, Russia, than us Americans do, even currently, amen? But here's the three things he says. Ask yourself every day, what are you thankful for? And I love that Pastor Shelley has the 30 days of praise out right now. And I want to share, the way I'm using that this year is I'm not just instantly trying to think of something every day I'm thankful for. I'm waiting till the following morning, and then I reflect on the previous day. I have it right there with my devotions, So I see it with my devotions and I go, okay, let's think about yesterday. And I'll pause and I'll think about yesterday from the start to the finish. What's one thing? What am I most thankful for of yesterday? You know, yesterday we had breakfast at the Pig and Pancake. And man, it was challenging getting seats. They gave away one of our tables after we waited for a half an hour. And we needed two tables because there was 12, you know, with all these restrictions. But they got us in, they seated us, they were very helpful. And man, that breakfast was it could have been on the cover of a magazine. It was so perfect. It's like I almost didn't want to eat it. And all these things they're having to deal with as a restaurant, and they brought me this perfect meal. And so I wrote down for yesterday, my breakfast at Pig and Pancake was awesome, or something like that. Hey, that's significant. Amen? So just being intentional. What are you doing? You're fixing yourself. You're founding yourself. You're strengthening yourself and your resolve to be thankful. Amen. Instead of focusing on negatives. Hallelujah. But this one right here, I want us all to look at this week. The second one. What has God done for you this year? This year. Somebody say, this year. That has been a blessing to you. Pastor Terry came to the church last week and she said, you know what? I've been meeting a lot of mopey Christians lately. Eagle Mountain, amen. We can't be mopey Christians. Yeah, but what I'm believing for, it looks opposite and this thing just keeps going and No. Think about the entire year. And you will find a lot of things where God has been faithful, 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 faithful. Somebody say faithful. Amen. So what has God done for you this year that has been a blessing to you? And then the next thing he says is, what have others done for you that deserves a special thank you? Somebody say amen. These are questions that are healthy to ask. Remember, Jesus said that unthankfulness is evil. So you and I do not, he put it in all caps, do not want to fall into that category. Better to self-correct and to be corrected than to end up in that awful condition of being unthankful. We simply need to put words of thanksgiving into our hearts and mouths. Somebody say amen. Amen. We'll stop right there for today. Let's all stand up on our feet together and lift your hands and just begin to thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord for his marvelous presence today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You are so good to me, so faithful. I just want you to take a moment right now. We're just going to be quiet before God. Well, the piano can play, but I want you just to think. Go back in your mind, in your heart, through the year. And just even right now, just think of one thing you're thankful for over this past year. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And I would encourage us all, me included, to make a list. My phone has actually an app for making lists. And I can access it quickly. Things I'm thankful for in 2020 list. Why not? Amen. So, Father, we choose to be thankful people today. Hallelujah, Lord, because we know that's what helps us regulate our lives to be in conduct and in union with you and in conformity to you, firmly and deeply planted in you, fixed and founded in you, continually built up in you, increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving, according to Colossians 2. And we give you the praise for it all right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say, amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day, everybody.